Okay, can I interrupt you for a minute?
Are you aware of this? Item number three.
Yes. Well, we weren't aware of it until after the minutes came out. So it's going to go to the community or the council next. So hopefully we can get in front of it then. So we're gonna try and send
Well,
something out.
we voted a couple years ago at an
No,
annual meeting.
there was a survey taken a couple years ago, and then nothing was changed in the CCNRs.
Of course, now we're trying to slam the door after the cows have left the barn as usual.
So I mean, normally you can rely on the fact that they can't have Airbnbs under commercial with unless they if have a water source, but that lot actually has a water source. So
Sylvia's in donut.
yeah, but it's definitely commercial use.
Well,
Residential.
that's, I think, if they're getting a conditional use for a campground, that's a different story than doing like an Airbnb or something like, and that's what they're asking for is conditional use
But
as a
we
campground.
say no commercial use.
Yeah, but that's subjective too, right? Because some people define Airbnbs as commercial and some people don't. And it doesn't say specifically no commercial use, it just says approved uses are in the CCNR. So that's, I don't know, there's different opinions even on the board, of which you want to limit. But the other thing too, that if you look through that, they one of the requirements is that they have to maintain a 20-foot road to the campground, which they can't do because that's HOA
Well,
property.
in Phoenix Metro, you also have to have an owner
Present.
within so many hours' drive at all times to provide stomp
Support.
downs of bad behavior. I don't know if the county has required that for any
I don't
place
know.
like this or not.
That's another good point too, because if they're in San Diego and
Hey, the B&Bs wreck the neighborhoods in Phoenix. Simple as that. People come and they act like idiots and animals and owners and who knows where, and then nobody will step up and make them behave. The cops go, "Well, I need to talk to the owner," and the owner's not
out
there.
there, yep. Definitely a topic. It's not on the agenda yet because we only found about it Friday, but yeah.
That's how that this is supposed to be done with Cam's
I guess.
right into the ground.
I'm thinking that
Intel is going to go on.
with me.
Yeah.
I'm sure can. That's why I brought mostly for you. Gotta keep you energized at work.
Their water in the system has overly doubled in the month before and last year. But they're not new.
Good morning. How are you
They're
doing?
not
You made it, man.
new.
Hold up your stand.
Ah, sure.
That's not good. Yeah, man. Been an interesting 2 months down home. You can't just walk away. Everyone's fine. So they keep me like
so, you know.
It all went pretty well.
Well, we're kicking up.
Let's switch on that.
My wife here is just rustling out.
Wow. You had no chance to take it over.
No. It's too soon.
Just doing a sound check. Can you guys hear us? Thanks, Laurie.
And probably use something. Well, Rob got his in.
First
he was
one.
Lucky.
Yeah. And that Josh did a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. I went to his house. So I borrowed his concrete blankets. And I dropped them off at his house. And I have never seen so much concrete in somebody's house. You could put three basketball courts in there. Have you been there?
Well, it was originally going to be the slab for a while.
And the battery is
starting to get
a while.
When it burns,
how are you?
Ben brought me one the other day. He's like, hey, you're going to rebuild
it. Hey, brother.
How are you?
Good.
Okay, we called it. Then they changed it. We're not going to tell
so,
him.
She ordered
so his slab changed from the house slab to park and trailer on it.
And he said, well, try this radio.
He knows the limitations.
Well,
I was kind of surprised he had an insurance carrier that would pay his bill.
The signal line.
Yeah.
You won't know about the battery for a couple of years, but.
Well, Bob Hedman got it.
Some of the other ones would try signal wise something. This one sucks. I don't want that one. Sleeping in our kids' cars in case they're driving out. Better than nothing. In emergency, right.
If you're a fireman, you know how to. You know how to
so, yeah, we've been grabbing things and we have another one now.
Special railing.
So, when the battery. Well,
yeah. How did you get around it? There is no fire hydrant.
The radio is still fine. It's just the battery won't keep.
I know,
but I don't know how.
We had a small no
fire hydrant.
Yeah, it's
well,
like this would be interesting.
Where the two little metal, like the little copper connection, push it up.
None of our business.
Then we
have send them to send other people.
But, it's, but it takes a couple years before we get there, and we don't know what's causing it because we have one and we don't leave ours on the charger all the time. We wait until the yellow we turn ours off. Like a cell phone, right? With the cell phone, we're getting a fire.
Yep.
I burned it when you're in, but it's raining.
We don't know what's
fast as fire.
Yeah.
I wait for it to show up.
What is it?
Yeah.
Literally.
Hey, Jeff and Kevin, or Jeff, Kevin, and Kurt, two minutes till start time. Just FYI.
Yeah.
To all response time.
We get that small. There's nothing they can do. They can't do that anything. Fireworks initially there when it started and after that it was going to be based on
then we just started saying, sending people.
They have one sheriff dedicated to 256.
Order them. When you bring them, I'll program them. Walk here. Well, in the end, it'll be changed.
Yes.
Yeah. Brent and I did a welfare check on it, and I didn't share something.
If you don't get him out,
it was probably that strain.
Yeah. Well, and he never left out anyway, because for whatever reason,
we had no flights
that night. Right? Are you like going to go somewhere?
Yeah. It's like every time I
leave it, yeah, yeah, Chuck went out later at Monday, and I stayed at the
radio would say, literally say, or no, it would say channel 2 on the radio.
He was a good customer in my restaurant.
Channel 2.
It's 901, but I haven't seen Bart yet.
I don't know if he's calling in or...
He's not online yet.
Not online yet.
If he comes, he'll be calling in. He's in Oceanside.
Hello, Victor.
Muy
bien, ¿qué tal?
Aquí rumbo a Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, de veras. ¿Qué estás? Oh, está manejando.
Mira, I don't know about hearing about them.
Yeah, it's okay. No, todavía no. Me dio unas partes que no sirvió en el sistema de agua.
Sí, me dijiste hace dos días que ibas a conseguir una nueva.
Yeah, y vino los nuevos y no sirvió. Y yo tenía que hacerlos custom.
You want to see that?
Voy a ponerlos ahora a ver si sirve.
¿Dónde estás consiguiendo esas partes?
En Hurricane.
Okay. Bueno, tú sabes que Diana va a ir el martes.
El martes, yo pensé miércoles. Okay, está bien. Okay, perfecto. Okay, me aviso.
You're supposed to make 4 beans at 7-11 a day.
Okay. Here, voy a empezar la junta de los del rancho. Ya hoy junta. Hace dos minutos. Le llamo más tarde.
Sí, creo que quiero hacer una pregunta.
Okay, perfecto.
Gracias.
Hasta luego.
Art's online now.
Okay.
So ready to start.
Hi there.
Hey, Bart, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good morning, everyone. It's Marco Parado.
Hey, Marco. How are you, man?
Good. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Yeah, well, no, I had it on my phone just now, and then something else popped up there again. Yeah. Yeah, I might have thought I'd be great. However, that's coming in, I can't print it, so...
My truck look on the side of the road there, Kevin.
Dead?
Pristine?
Well, it looked like it did yesterday when I saw it. Shouldn't be that big of a deal with the hose.
It's $20.
Really?
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
But you're going to have about $45 worth of antifreeze. Exactly. That is better than
don't buy.
That's the first repair I've ever had that's under $1,000.
Don't buy the pre-mixed antifreeze.
No, I'll get.
It's stupid because you can buy full strength for like $13. You can buy the mixed stuff for $11.
So, well, what do I do? I have water.
Yeah, makes it like $22 a gallon.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending. Kevin, pause that bite. I'm going to invite you to lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day and this beautiful place. Father, we come at first just praising you for being God above all.
Father, we also recording your conversation.
The Holy Spirit would guide and direct our conversation. We pray for the spirit of peace and the spirit of camaraderie. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Roll call. Cade, you got that covered?
Yeah, we just need to do here in the...
Okay, so if everybody will start over here with Ezra and everybody give us your name and lot number, we can do roll call.
Ezra, 83.
Lot 83?
283.
Vance Green, 156.
Marco Parado, 146.
Joe, I'm with Donna in 27.
Ken.
Kit Geller, lot 22.
Sally Miller, 87.
So for all the people online, if you'll just put your lot number after your name, we don't need to do a roll call. We can see you on the attendance.
Oh, good.
Oh, I'm sorry. I put my glasses on. I can't see nothing. Kate, do you want to go? Who?
So all board members are present. So we've got Michael and Thomas and Bart on Zoom.
Yeah.
And then Kevin, Kurt, Cade, and Jeff are all here. So all board members are present. Okay. June so minutes. June minutes. I sent out June minutes. Sent out the shorter version for your approval. Any updates or changes to the minutes?
I have none.
None.
Okay. Board members, all in favor of approving the minutes as they're sent out?
Aye.
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 Okay, all of approved. So approval of the agenda.
I approve of the agenda.
Oh, we got
all in favor of say aye.
Is there anything that needs to be added?
Nope. I thought about it, but it's just too short notice.
Okay. Nobody has anything to be added? Mary, all the board members are okay with the agenda moving forward?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye. Aye.
Hey.
Okay, let's move on to the treasurer report, Michael Jordison.
Oh, yes.
Good morning. It always starts like that.
I know. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll just go in order here. Dues, everything's looking great. We only had a single lot go to collections. Everyone else is catching up. So that's good, and the P&L reflects that. Let's see. The P&L was sent out. At the end, I'll ask if there are any questions on it. Nothing really stood out from last time. I did have, let me find it. No, I don't. I thought I had the account information up, but I don't. back to the other tab. Discussed bad past due accounts, reserve study. While I'm bringing the account information up, we'll do the reserve study. We did have a good meeting with the company that did our reserve study. Had them explain the first draft. We get three drafts this coming week. I and others will be going over it and altering. They put numbers in as the edge case scenarios. You know, we think some of them are high, which will adjust the end outcome of the reserve study. So we're going to go through that and have them adjust the numbers just a little bit, something more aligned with DSROA versus, you know, a standard HOA that's, you know, has properties they maintain and pools and whatever else. So we have some adjustments to do there, and we'll get together and do that probably this week or next week. Checking account, we have $194,000 savings between the two savings accounts. There's about $22,000, and the CDs, there is $120,000, a little more than that. Any questions for me?
What is the goal in our reserve study?
Good question. So the reserve study tells us where we're sitting. It allows us to spend reserve funds on things that are upcoming. Without a reserve study on file, technically, without member approval, we can't spend reserve funds. That would come down to a member vote. And that's just, we need to be able to spend those funds on things that they're meant for. It will help with budgeting. If you have known items that are coming to their life cycle in an upcoming year, you can start budgeting for that and spending the reserve funds. One of the things that, well, I won't go into that part yet, but they did give us some ideas of how to adjust our budgeting process to make more of our funds available and open to the reserve process. You know, I'll give the high 10,000 foot level basics. Basically, it's your operating expenses are only what's in your budget. Everything else goes into reserve. And that kind of makes a lot of sense. Did that answer the question, Kurt?
Yes, it did. So there's no rollovers. It just automatically in the year goes into the reserve fund, and then it's a member vote to spend any of that.
Well, No. If we don't have a reserve study, then the members have to vote to spend the reserve funds that we have. With a reserve study, that opens it up for the board to spend that money on items listed in the reserve study. So if, for example, if we need to do a new roof on the comfort station and that's on the reserve study for 2027, well, that comes right out of the reserve funds, not out of the general budget.
Well, that roof is in pristine condition.
I said as an example.
Okay.
So I think two things to bring up too, Michael, is one, it is required by state law that we do a reserve study on a periodic basis, and that two, we have a line item for the reserve funds. So it's not just the rollover stuff. We actually have a line item right now. I think it's like $6,000 or $7,000. It is kind of our leftover. But we do have a line item right now for reserve funds. Those funds could not be spent though, unless we have the reserve study identifying what we should spend them to.
Correct. Well, it's not only state law, our CC&Rs stated as well. So yep. Our bylaws and our you know, they state that we should be doing this as well.
So when is the last time we had a reserve study done?
Not aware of one.
We're not aware.
Nobody has been able to produce one ever.
Well, so good job on your end. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Any more comments or questions? Ezra?
Thanks.
Property manager report? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that was it. Thanks. Yep, I'm done. Thank you.
Okay.
Cabin reservations been slowing down this month.
Ezra, you might want to come closer to the mic. Just...
Cabin reservations have been slowing down a little bit this month, I guess to be expected. But as far as the rodent problem, I had found a big hole by the side of cabin 2.
Oh.
That I ended up filling in. So hopefully that fixes the rodent problem there. Because I think they were digging through that hole and coming up underneath the cabin.
Right.
Anyways. So we got that addressed. And then we've had a few complaints on the cabins of having no outlets and too hot. So I just wanted to note that. Talk about that on a later date. And then the J station, the water system, we got that back up and going, which it had a leak, so we tore it down for a week or so and replaced that. And
it's working great.
Yeah. And I met with the backflow prevention guy, and we went over all the backflow stuff, and he quite liked the system. There's a few changes we needed to make and a few updates, a few things that we need to do. But overall, he liked it pretty well. So
good.
Some of it was a little overbuilt, he was saying. So I guess it's fine. It's just a little more maintenance.
Who needs an engineer when you can overbuild something?
Yeah. Anyways, and I think that's probably about it. You got any other questions for me?
I understood I have a reservation for the cabins in October. I understood that there's no insurance right now on the cabins. So I thought you weren't renting to people for new reservations because you have no insurance.
No, I don't
you just allow that. People to rent them at their own risk.
Yeah, so the insurance, we have insurance for liability purposes, but if the cabins were to burn down,
we don't have replacement insurance.
We don't have replacement insurance.
Which would be having to do with
rents.
Right.
They could have some responsibility if they were the cause of the fire or something like that, then we don't have insurance to protect you as a renter. But we have not shut down the cabins currently. They're open for reservations. People can continue to make reservations. So that might be part of the reason why people are thinking.
I think it says that on the website, so you might want to look at that. I think it's, well, maybe it's something that came to me.
We sent out an email indicating that we didn't have insurance. That was sent out to everybody. And in that, it did state that you would be more responsible for the insurance. But it didn't say that we weren't opening up the cabins. But that's probably what you interpreted was. Yeah, but.
Is there a waiver that you signed to for staying in the cabins?
Yeah,
that's coming up.
Yeah, I've always had a waiver.
Okay. Now, is there potential to get insurance by then? Are you still working on, or is it something that's not going to ever happen?
This year, we have made the decision that we cannot obtain reason. I mean, the insurance was coming in $25,000 to $30,000 a year.
Well, so that's not the only key there, Kate, is most of the insurance didn't cover fire.
Fire, yeah.
Which
it was expensive and it didn't give us good coverage. And so we will revisit it again next year, but this year we are not currently trying to. We went to probably what 20 different companies.
Dave
Michael led the charge on that. They went everywhere.
Yeah, we between Cade and I, we had at least 15 different brokers trying to get us insurance. And the answer just was no. Insurances have clamped down because of, various reasons. But one of the biggest was they said, you know what, you're in an extreme fire area. That's an exclusion. We're not going to cover it. And that is our biggest risk.
Insurance board do something to help on that?
They can't force somebody to insure us.
They have the state create an insurance fund, like a bond type thing or something.
I thought Michael said that was kind of coming, like that's in the background legislatively.
It's right? Not. Yeah, there's things coming on that type of, but so we'll go back to last meeting. I'll try to make this quick. We'll go back to last meeting. The fire warden was here. He talked about the fire map. Insurance companies inadvertently, you know, the consequence of publishing that fire map, insurance companies are now using that to say, you guys are in such an extreme area, not a chance. You know, that's one of the consequences of that map. The map helps and identifies areas that need attention, and, you know, that fire mitigation techniques and processes can be put in place to help, but insurance companies have weaponized it and are using it against places to deny insurance.
Well, I think you'll also see we've been extra vigilant this year to send out notices of any fire restriction changes and, you know, remind you guys of the fireworks and stuff like that, because that is our biggest danger. And, you know, especially where we don't have insurance right now, if these cabins were all to burn down, they're not getting replaced unless we do a big special assessment or something.
So I'll just take it one step further to say that we're working with the DNR, trying to cooperate with the DNR. The DNR has a grant request that's going to go in this fall, which would help with improving the property to a point where fire crews can get in and out, where we have more safety lines for members to get in and out in the case of an emergency, and thin some of the growth. So if that grant passes, then next year we could have some fuels mitigation, basically, you know, at no cost to DSR or the owners. And that's all I'll say about that right now. But I think also, Michael and Kate, if I remember correctly, you know, the trying to obtain insurance, fire zone was one stiff roadblock for us, but also having perceived assets or liabilities such as an airstrip was something that also made it really hard to get insurance quotes.
Yes, the amenities list changes our status as an HOA. That is correct.
Question?
Kind of. I mean, I'm looking at it because I have a family that, big family, younger kids. I worry a little.
Yeah, we, I think.
Waiver, I watch it like crazy, but if, say, something, they break a refrigerator or something, I pay for that now. I would pay for that.
You always, if you're always,
you would have always been responsible for that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Any damage to the property is a member's responsibility.
We didn't, as members, have insurance to cover us.
No. And so, but one thing I would say is, per the regulations, you have 30 days before your reservation is due to cancel that reservation. So, yeah, so if you want to cancel it, just make sure you do it 30 days in advance of that, then you'll get a full refund, minus your credit card fees and stuff that way. Is there a comment in the back? Or... Okay, so I think...
All right, so we're going to move on to an open forum. If anybody has, you have 2 to 3 minutes on the topics that are on today's agenda. Does anybody have any questions or comments on what's up and coming? Hey, Sid. Where's your sister? She said she's going to come up with you. Oh.
He drove right by.
He drove right by, did you?
I have a question.
Yes.
It's about the fire mitigation. I was wondering if the board has contacted and gotten with Nick Bastrup, or whatever his name is.
We've started the talks with him. He was going to drive some of the roads and then get back with us with some recommendations. So I know Thomas mentioned it with him, and I met with him and talked to him about him and asked him how he can coordinate. But we can reach out again, but he was kind of wanting to drive some of the areas and the roads and then come back with some recommendations on where he might do some mitigation.
We'll have Nick Dashtrip participate in the September meeting. So he'll be present either by Zoom or in person to talk in more detail and answer questions.
This is Sally Miller.
Sally, just a second. Somebody else can talk then.
Oh, sorry.
But are you waiting? I just wanted to comment regarding the airport closure.
Tammy, you want to come up so everybody can hear you online too?
We're not hearing you.
Yeah, we're not hearing the people in the whoever's talking right there.
Okay. The last few months, I've seen more and more dead standing trees showing up. So yes, it's great that we're going to have all this done next year. But if you're able, I highly recommend you work on your properties now.
Well, I don't know that the challenge there is, I'm not sure that chainsaws are even allowed to be in the woods, are they, Kate?
No, chainsaws are not allowed in stage two conditions.
Right, so we can't even put a chainsaw to anything.
Okay, well,
because I've been observing the same thing.
You can pull down a dead tree with a truck or a skid steer.
Yeah, you can.
As long as they have a smart arrestor, they're allowed.
Because it's not, the fires aren't going to wait for next.
Yeah, we'll need to check on the chainsaws because, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time to burn.
Yeah, Tammy makes a very good point there.
Property.
Yeah.
If we had the ability to get a little bit of funds for all of us in the time to slot that it gets
free. Yeah, so that's what they're actually proposing. So all the members can actually apply for this grant, and they will come and remove and they'll do a mechanical masticator and actually masticate all of the deadfall for you, so you don't have to remove it off your lot. Or if you don't want that mess, they will hand cut it for you and pile it, but then you're responsible for it. So that's what we're trying to get this that available to you, and it's no charge. It's not even a minimal charge. It'll be no charge is what they're
like. She said, it's now.
Yeah, I agree. And
so it's like
every part you do now is that much less you have.
Well, the lightning just hits these things.
Yeah, but we can't get the funds.
Can we provide first? I would put money in myself.
Yeah.
If we could all pitch in some money, the ones that really need it, get a group in here. Because for me to go get somebody to come all the way out here for my lot, it's more money. But if there was enough for.
So I've called personally to just get some estimates, just so you're aware. And I think members can get together, your lot neighbors or whatever, can hire masticators. But it's about $2,500 to $3,000 an acre for a masticator to come in. So if you want to put that kind of funds on your lot, yeah, I mean, now is the time to do it. But if you want to, the funds that we're trying to go after are not going to be available until next spring. So.
And I've personally been pulling down trees that I can get to. But it would be much nicer to have a chainsaw so I can get in there and cut it up and pull it out of there.
We do,
but I can't get to everything.
So the exact wording is no operating motorcycle, chainsaw, ATV, or other small internal combustion engine without an approved and working spark arrestor.
So like an electronic chainsaw would not be an issue. And if you do have a gas one, it needs to have a spark arrestor. That's for your tractors, and that's for your ATVs and everything else, right, too.
So, Cade, maybe for the next meeting or between now and the next meeting, we decide something that was touched on last meeting. We decide if we want to apply for a burn permit to have a burn pile down near the rock, the gravel pit. And then over the summer months, if people have down tree piles, dead trees, whatever, we can start to gather those up and then we can burn them this winter and make the pile go away. And then that can just be, even an ongoing thing annually. Do it in the winter when there's no
risk. I think that's already the plan, and yeah. I don't think we need to change anything. That's always been the case.
But historically, though, the pile ends up too big, and then it's
May I ask what we are in the agenda?
Slash pit.
push it into. So when we finish this topic that was asked, so I think we'll come to you guys for the agenda items.
Well, what's the topic?
Right now, there was a question asked about the fire mitigation, and so we were talking about the fire mitigation.
It was in the open forum item. So it's, yeah, item 5.2, I guess you'd call it.
Yep. So, but yeah, so for next meeting, we can come with more clarification on the burn pit. Last meeting, we talked about doing something closer in slide too, because bringing it all the way over to the gravel pit was tough. So we'll make sure both of those get noted in the minutes, and we can take that for an action. But it doesn't discourage members from doing work on their own properties and or working with neighbors to try and get cost savings for, because equipment, while that equipment of cost is bringing it out here.
So, yeah.
But a dead pile is it has inherent risk, hence the gathering it to a central location.
There's nobody to hide. Battery operated chainsaws are okay.
So chainsaws in general are okay if they have a spark arrestor. So battery operated chainsaw doesn't have any gas or consumable stuff, so you should be fine with that. I mean, still be careful of sparking stuff, but go and things that way. So just so you, Kurt, Laura has her hand up. So Laura Hopkins had a comment.
Okay, Laura.
Actually, this is Steve. I just wanted to comment on the airport closure proposal. That's one of the reasons we bought out there. I was hoping to someday purchase an ultralight and or get a sport pilot license. And it also sounds like from some of the comments that some other members would still use the airport. I'm not sure it's in condition to be used right now, but I also think it would affect our property values because essentially if you developed a property, people with airplanes tend to have money and would possibly purchase a property out there just for that reason. And I don't know how quickly you guys are looking to make a decision, but I'm hoping you take some time to get some feedback from actual pilots that live out there right now. So that's all I needed.
We don't have any pilots living out here right now.
Sam, I can't remember his name. He posted online saying that he's flown in here a couple times.
Okay. Lot 145, he also has a pilot's license, and he flies into Kanab. And he leaves a truck there. He actually paid to have some work done on the airport and just decided not to use it. And the issue with it is it's not just something we want to get rid of, kind of cool, but it's a huge insurance issue. We've had several policies canceled because we have it, because it's not managed. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, but let's hear their comments, and then we'll move on to the actual discussion of the airport. So we just need to listen to the comments coming in, and then we'll have that discussion.
Gotcha.
So, Sally, I think you had comments.
Yes. Can I be heard all right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I'm going to go backward in terms of my comments. The first thing I want to ask, is there going to be an auction at the September meeting?
Yes, that was in the notice that was sent out. There was the schedule.
Okay, that's good. I just want to say I'll donate some stuff, so I'll send stuff for that. The other thing, in terms of the insurance stuff, I was wondering, Dan Wirt had a company that would have provided us insurance, and I'm wondering how similar or different that is in terms of what you all are doing right now and what has been refused.
I'm not aware of Dan Wirt proposing any insurance company to the board that would supply insurance. So if he's told you about that, he has not brought that to the board.
Well, I thought I saw it at a board meeting, so I don't think it was anything personal. I will follow up on that then. Okay,
so my recollection was that Dan brought to the board that Insurance was going to be considerably more expensive, and he was recommending in the budgeted time frame that we needed to budget a higher amount for insurance. But I don't remember, similar to Michael, I don't remember him proposing a lower amount.
Or any specific insurance agency. So Dan did engage while he was on the board with the insurance and informed all of us at a meeting that it was going to cost more. Nothing beyond that. Then he resigned.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll follow up on, maybe I'm just not remembering correctly. Okay. The other thing is, and I believe I brought this up before, I asked you all a question. If Deer Springs Ranch is a church, and I was told no, and I was asked if when you pray, if you could pray in the name of God, because that's inclusive of all monotheistic religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam.
Yeah, well, I remember that. And our response was we attempt to do our best, but we can't ask people to pray in ways that they are not used to praying.
You can pray in the name of God.
Okay, your request has been noted.
Thank
Does
you.
Anybody else have any further comments, questions?
Yes, Marco Parado.
Hey, Marco.
Hey, 146. You know, one of the, getting back to the airport, I know it's coming up, but, you know, again, it's one of the reasons we bought our lot. Yeah, we're not living there full time yet, but we're working towards that. And that was one of the reasons, you know, we purchased that lot. Why is there some way, just like the cabins, people are renting the cabins at their own risk. Why wouldn't it be the same with the airport? If you want to fly in as an owner, you're flying in at your own risk. Why would you get rid of an identifier and close everything down? If it ever wanted to be reopened, it's almost impossible. So is there anything that we can do to keep it going, and just anyone flying in is flying in at their own risk?
I think we can explain that. Anything else during the discussion?
Marco, we're going to get past the cabin waiver, and then the next item is the airport, and then the airstrip, and then we'll be able to go into more details on that. Is that all right?
Copy that.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments? Okay, I'm going to move on to Tom LeClaire on the cabin waiver.
Well, we need to close the comments.
Okay, I'm closing the comments. Thank you.
So the new waiver language has been sent out to the members for review, and we're proposing to replace the old waiver on cabin rentals for the language in the new waiver. The language in the new waiver, basically the origin of it was the committee that reviewed the waiver, Rule 402. And from the output of that committee, there was a draft waiver that was created that was sent to the legal advisor for DSROA, and he came back with the ultimate language that was presented to the membership. There is no, as far as adopting the new waiver, this is for cabin rentals and would be put into the Firefly system. And so I...
There would be no changes to rules, what you were saying, because the current rule already requires that they sign the waiver through the Firefly system.
Yeah, correct. No, nothing additional is being proposed at this time, other than a waiver for waiver exchange. There was some concerns with the previous language, and we had been, it not only was there some membership anxiety over it, but the legal recommendation was, yeah, that's not probably what you want, to keep it as short and simple as possible.
Well, and the legal reference was specific to cabin usage, right? He recommended that We keep it targeted for this particular use.
So the current proposal is a waiver for waiver exchange on the cabin rental system. Legal advisor suggests that any additional situations that may cause us to want a waiver would be handled as individual situations. So, yes. There's nothing being proposed to put something in the rules. There's nothing that says that every owner has to sign a waiver. This is just a cabin waiver, exchange of waivers for the new language.
Is everyone clear on that? Go ahead, Ken.
So if you rent the cabin, the waiver is pretty broad. So,
yeah.
And you sign the waiver, then it's saying that if you get hurt at the ponds or you get hurt on the roads or if you get whatever, the waiver covers all those scenarios. But
if my sons come up and they want to fish at the cabins, do they have to sign, or fish at the ponds, do they have to sign a waiver?
If they have not rent the cabins, then no.
If they're not staying in the
cabins. If they're not staying in the cabins, then no. Well, and even, clarify, the way that the rule states right now is the person making a reservation is required to sign the waiver. And that is enforced through Firefly, so they cannot make a reservation in Firefly without signing the waiver. If they call Maria and Ezra and say, please help me make a reservation, they take the responsibility to make sure that the person that's doing the reservation signs the waiver. So the only person technically being forced to sign the waiver is the person making the reservation. It's good practice to have other members sign the waiver, and the wording in there kind of says, if you haven't signed the waiver, we didn't invite DSROA, didn't invite you. You may have invited them, but DSROA didn't invite them to the cabin, so therefore DSROA is not responsible for them. But, yeah, so that's the only requirement to sign the waiver. And Michael and Thomas, keep me honest on that, but that's right now we're just requiring the reservationist to sign it. But anybody else who wants to sign a waiver of their own free will and choice can do so. But the rules just require the person making the reservation to sign it.
And is it a one-time signing?
It's yes, one-time signing, but every time you go in and reserve, it's going to require you to sign it again.
Yeah.
So,
just because Firefly can't distinguish if you signed it or not signed it.
That's right.
There's a question back. Go ahead. If you can come up to the mic, so they can hear you.
The clarification, Joe, lot 27. Is the topic that's on the floor now inclusive of the suggestion that members should sign a waiver to use our own land? And if
no.
You do not, okay, are we going to get to that sometime?
That is not being proposed or
augmented. That's never been proposed.
That has not been proposed.
I saw something in the email that was sent out that if you're a member, and I don't want to get into it if this isn't the time, I just wanted to know if it was coming up later. If it's not coming up later, then just allow me 30 seconds. What I read was that members have the option to sign a waiver or not to use our own association lands. If you fail to sign the waiver, you make that decision and you use the association lands and you're injured, then you're trespassing. I have an objection to that. Fundamental principle does make sense. So I do that not is... know if this is the time to talk about that or...
That's not being proposed and was taken off the table.
It was.
Yes.
I missed that. I apologize.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it happened just this week that so there was two things that were being proposed in the email that went out, and the one that you're referring to has been withdrawn. There's no plan at this time to move forward with said rule language. So this is strictly a exchange waiver to waiver from the old waiver to the new waiver, which is according to our legal recommendation is more appropriate.
And only applicable to the cabins.
Currently, the only people being requested to sign the waiver is going to be in the Firefly rental process.
So may I make a suggestion, if it isn't there already, that the person that signs it is signing for everybody they're bringing to be, that are the people that are under their umbrella that they're bringing to the ranch.
Yes, that is there.
It is there? Yeah. Okay.
So the rule states that they must identify their guests, and the waiver also states that they should identify their guest. So again, it's upon the member. If the member doesn't want to identify the guests and take responsibility for them, they could also have them sign the waiver, and then they are taken care of. But we're only requiring the person making the reservation to sign the waiver and identify their guests.
Thank you.
So, Thomas, I wanted to clarify just before Sally starts speaking. The collection method and the applicability are two different things. So I want to make sure everybody understands those waivers are only applied to the cabin rental process. Correct?
Well, so if I've signed a waiver through the cabin rental process, that would not prohibit the SROA relying on that same waiver if I was hurt somewhere else.
Applicable for cabin guests. Not.
And yeah. Or the timing, right? So, okay, so let's say a member comes out, runs a cabin for this weekend, right? They sign a waiver.
Yep.
Their weekend is over. So they go home. They come back at a later date and go camping on their property. Waiver still applicable or no?
They're on their property.
The waiver has nothing to do with people on their private property.
No.
What I'm saying is they're no longer staying in the cabin, so they're coming out to their property, staying on their property. Let me elaborate. And they go to the ponds. They get hurt. Now the waiver applies because they had signed it previously when they stayed in the cabin, or it doesn't.
And it has not expired.
Hold on. Jeff, if you look in there, there is a small element. Maybe it's not so small, but there is an element of redundancy between the waiver and the CCNRs. I believe it's section 4.4, which has some language in it about not coming after DSROA. So the waiver is a one-time signature. The only reason it's requested each time you rent in Firefly is a process thing with Firefly.
But there is no limitation to say that once you've signed the waiver, it only applies to the week that you're staying in the cabin or the 3 days that you're there. It continues to apply
forever.
So
until the waiver's changed.
I mean, technically for members, that it doesn't impact members. To your point, the CCNR has already said that members cannot sue the HOA. So, but it is an additional protection. If we ever did get sued by a member that had signed a waiver, you could come to them and say, hey, you also signed a waiver, even if they are or not in the cabins. So yes, it's being collected and applied at the cabins, but once you've signed it, then you're subject to it.
Other questions?
No, I'm clear to be excused.
That answers that one.
Okay, that subject is closed.
There was a motion. We need to take a motion and adopt it. If we're going to. Motion was made to do that.
Okay. Well, I second it.
We need a motion and we need.
Thomas, would you give us a motion on that since it's your baby?
I make a motion to replace the existing cabin rental waiver with the newly created and legally reviewed cabin waiver.
I'll second you. All in favor, say aye.
Tate, aye.
Bart, aye.
Michael, aye.
Michael, aye.
Kevin?
Kevin, aye.
Jeff?
Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous. Now I close that subject, and we're going to move on to Michael Jordison, and we're going to discuss the airport.
All right. So I'm going to go back in time just a little bit, and we're going to discuss basically directors and officers insurance. Directors and officers insurance isn't to protect the board. It's to protect the HOA. It's to protect all the members from having a special assessment court ordered because the board did something wrong and got sued for it. That is the core reason why insurance companies will not touch or give us high premiums for an HOA that has an airport listed as an amenity. The reason being is that a volunteer board is generally not equipped in the understanding, the needs, the requirements, the maintenance to operate an airport. We argued for weeks that it was a dirt patch. They were not
being used.
It wasn't being used. There is. So I appreciate those that want to keep it, and I understand it and I respect it. But currently there is not a single permission slip on file to land at the airport. And that has always been a requirement to land at the airport, is a permission slip signed and submitted to the administration. So no matter how much we argued with the insurance companies, they are adamant that you either pay the $10,000 to $12,000 premium, or, you know, the other insurance policy we had was $1,800, and it covered everything perfectly that we needed as an HOA in an off-grid situation. As soon as they read the airport language, they withdrew it, and our next best option with limited coverage and stipulations and exclusions in the policy because of the airport is now closer to the $10,000 range. So we have some options. The options are to update the rules and remove the airport. The sooner we do this, the better, because insurance, we're going to have to retry for our insurance next year. And the sooner we pull it down, the longer we can say it hasn't been in operation, the more likelihood that we will get the standard HOA policy. Also, the FAA, you know, one of the things they're going to look at is the FAA registration. Well, this is a simple removal. We file the paperwork. We say this is no longer, we don't want it registered anymore. But that can take 30 to 60 days. I think they say 30. We all know how government works.
Yes.
So are there other options? And I'm going to address the other options for those that would like to keep and maintain an airport. Yes, we have talked to other HOAs that have moved it into an LLC. So basically lease the land to those that want to use it, and it becomes their responsibility to deal with the insurance, to deal with the maintenance, to deal with, so other HOAs have done that. If there were even 10% of the members, I mean, that's 30 people, 30 lots. If there were even 10% with a permission slip currently on file and actively using, I would be arguing a different, my opinion would be totally different. But with the lack of use and the want of future use, I'm kind of feeling like, you know what? We can explore those options when people are ready to use it regularly. But for now, I'm not sure that it's, I'm not sure that it's fair to ask the other membership to not only have the increased premiums, but also the increased liability because of the exclusions in the policy. All right, so I've done my speech.
Okay, Michael, so what if Marco and the members do want to the LLC bill, and it would basically be taken from books, correct?
I'm sorry, you cut out, and that I don't know if that's my connection or yours. Say that again.
Okay, so
the wind picked up a little bit, so let us know if it breaks out again.
If Marco and the other pilots here wanted to form the LLC now, and that would take it off our books, is that correct?
No, it is not correct.
Okay.
So yes and no is the answer.
Okay, that's great.
We still need to remove it from our rules and regulations.
Correct.
And that is something the board can do without member involvement. We can make that decision, right or wrong. We can make that decision. We cannot remove it from the list of amenities in the CCNRs. That takes a member vote, and that will have to come this September. And I would propose that vote still go through. If the members come back and vote, no, we want the airport, well, then we re-amend the rules and regs and we view it a different way. But if we wait till that member vote, at the soonest, it would come off the FAA registration website as an airport would be November. Maybe October, probably November. And then we're doing the insurance search again in January. They're going to say this isn't enough time, and now we're out another year. So
Michael, I agree with you on that. Did that answer your question, Kurt?
Yeah, I'm just more confused. Marco, are you understanding?
I have a question.
No, that doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, it's crystal clear that everybody wants to get rid of this, but what about the pilots? I mean, I think there should be if that's an option, why can't we form the LLC?
You can. And I would be happy to vote to lease that land to the pilots and give them the option to explore that. Putting it back on the FAA registration website, to my understanding, is not that hard. It's submitting the paperwork. And the paperwork is, I mean, Kate did it last time, and we're not pilots. We know nothing about it.
Yeah, so that was, I was going to add a little bit of clarification just so everybody's kind of aware as well. So closing the registration with the FAA does not prohibit a pilot from landing at their own risk on that airstrip and doing stuff that way. It does not necessarily prohibit you from using other amenities or something. There's no rules right now that are saying you can't try and land on that airport, but there's going to be cows in the way. The HOA is not maintaining it, and we're not going from that route as well. Another option that I don't think Michael mentioned is if all of the pilots wanted to get together and raise the extra funds, and this might be a little bit more complicated. I don't know if the board would go for it, but if you wanted to cover the funds or cover the cost of the insurance, I mean, the main reason we're canceling this is because it's increasing the cost of our insurance from anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000 on an annual basis.
That's only one piece of it, Cade. That's only one piece.
Well, it's one, but
it's the lack. It's the exclusions in the insurance that the rest of the members would then have to cover if somebody sued us. There's two pieces to this.
Yeah. So cost of insurance and then the actual coverage. So again, the board would have to agree to that, but that could be an option the members presented to us. But so far, I have not heard any of the pilots come and say, I'm willing to pay $8,000 or I'm willing to pay $6,000 in order to use the airstrip. what I've heard from the pilots has been, I'm willing, I think you guys should keep it open and you guys should pay for it. And I don't think that's fair to the 250, 300 members that are, that the rest of the board is responsible to. So, I mean, Marco, I totally understand your position as a pilot and other pilots. And I think you guys need to get together and or even if you're not a pilot, if you feel like it's got value to your property.
I have a question. I have a question.
Are there any other pilots on the call?
I have a question here. This is Bart. I'm not a pilot, but so well, two. I have questions and points. One is forming an if pilots formed an LLC, and we would just then give them a lease, a license to use airstrip land that would then take, we wouldn't, no one else would be able to use it. They'd be responsible, I assume, for fencing it off so cattle don't go on there, or would we be responsible for fencing it off? So the rest of the association would be responsible for fencing it off to keep cattle out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so there's some, before we go down that path, Bart, I threw out the LLC as a possible future item. I don't want to discuss.
I understand. I know. I'm just. It was brought up, so it's fair to talk about.
No.
It's
yes.
Fair to raise questions.
Okay. Understand.
So let me do that. Let me finish what I'm saying.
Understand.
All right. Secondly. All right. It's not a managed. So one of the issues for insurance that I'm hearing is that it's not a managed airfield. Well, what does an insurance company want to see for it to be considered a managed airfield?
It's a manned and operated tower like they have in Duck Creek.
No, that's not.
You don't need a tower.
A manned and operated tower. We're not talking.
So correction to that. They're not asking. They're saying that it's an increased risk regardless if we, quote unquote, manage it or not.
Okay.
If,
so
if we take more activity in it, it doesn't really.
So I think that's it. Kind of the. So. Even if it's increased risks, but it was said that it's because it's unmanned, we don't have the appropriate qualifications to man it.
No.
That's what you said.
No.
You said a volunteer board doesn't have the appropriate qualifications to manage an airfield.
Correct. We don't have the experience required to manage an airport.
So that's my question. What are they looking for? What does that cost? Is that something we should then throw out as a to the board? Because I understand there are a lot of people here who may want to use it in the future and don't want to see that future opportunity taken away from them.
Because, I can find that email, but it was clear in that email that nothing we did as an HOA.
Well, I know, but what would they need to see? And for us to be able to,
I think that's where the disconnect is, Bart. They're saying just having an open airport, whether it's managed, not managed, or we have the experience or not, just the fact that we have an airstrip increases our risk.
Yes.
Okay, so it increases our risk, and so our insurance goes up.
Correct.
So if our insurance goes up, you said that's $8,000-$9,000 extra. Is that what you said?
And coverage is mitigated.
Coverage is mitigated. Okay, so. What's the total price tag on that?
I think we couldn't even get quotes. We couldn't even get people to respond to us.
Yeah, we finally got one quote for, I think it was $9,000 that we ended up accepting because it was the only quote we could get.
Okay, so $9,000 was the only quote we could get. So in that case, and we need this so we can get insurance. Do we make a decision to close the airfield now, or there are people who, so, or do we wait? Do we put it out to members? Are we willing to increase our dues to cover these increased insurance costs for maintaining an airport? Now we can say, hey, pilots, current pilots, who wants to do it? Problem is, none of us know if in 10 years we're going to get a bug up our, you know what, and want to become a pilot, and then want to fly an ultralight. Or fly by, get a plane.
So Bart, I think everything that you're saying, sorry to interrupt you, but I think everything you're saying is absolutely, spot on. But I would also say that I can't remember the member's name, but there was a gentleman a few years ago who spent a lot of money, or what to me would be a lot of money,
That was lot 145.
to improve the airstrip to the point that he could, land on it. He landed on it one time and decided it was better to land in Kanab and drive in. So whether that's logistics, I don't know what the reason is, but I would suggest that, the other pilots, people that have interest in this, maybe just talk through that experience. Maybe.
Thomas, the reason he decided to do that is because his airplane is not really made to land on a grass or dirt runway. That's
Okay.
why he decided that it's better for his airplane. It's not better for him.
Well, I thought that might be one of the reasons would be because of the abuse to the equipment. So,
Correct.
yeah, but there
Yeah.
are
So,
planes out there that are more designed for remote
correct. But
situations.
can I just ask? So, getting back to this LLC, do you have more information on that? If, let's say, well, all the pilots got together or other owners got together and wanted to form this LLC, can you talk more about it? I mean, is this a definitely an option for us?
So we know nothing about forming the LLC to run a private airstrip.
Are you
Saying
willing
running
to
what
put
the
something
thing is,
together?
what I'm
Well, you
saying what I'm saying is we know that there are other HOAs that have done this and pulled it out of their rules and regulations and amenities, and it's run privately. And then the exclusion in insurance becomes in and says, we're covering the HOA and we're excluding the LLC. But it would still come out of the DSROA rules and regulations and listed amenities in the CCNRs.
Well, so here's another point to bring up with that. So one, I thought that it was difficult to get an airport registered with the FAA. Further research doesn't seem that that's the case in order to do that. I actually did the registration. It's not that hard to register it. The land is not going anywhere. It's still there and it's still usable. People have brought up emergency usage. If somebody needed to land in an emergency, there's nothing that would stop them from doing that other than possibly cows on the airstrip. The board is not proposing, or I have not heard a proposal that it be turned into anything else. It's still open area. It's still a place that people could land. So from my perspective, it makes sense to, while we try and figure all this out, let's go ahead and shut everything down. And then if the members want to come back and say, hey, we've got 30 people that are willing to pay extra in their dues or willing to cover the cost or form an LLC or whatever, they can come to us with a proposal. You guys get the support for that and then bring it to the board, and the board can consider it at that time. But right now, the immediate, to me, it doesn't make sense to have all of the members spend $9,000 a year in the hopes that someday I may purchase a plane that I can land on it. If you really want to get the plane and make it happen, then come back to us and come up with a proposal to make it happen. We're not saying this is a permanent end all ever done again scenario, but I don't, anyway, I think most of the concerns that people are raising are what ifs in the future, and we need to kind of deal with the situation we're in right now.
I want to address Cabin 64. I want to address the elephant on the sofa. And the elephant on the sofa is that we are talking about financially harming every property that borders that runway specifically.
Correct. Correct.
Absolutely, hands down, we're talking about financially harming six properties without question. You're a realtor, you know what I'm talking about. That establishes grounds for a lawsuit. Now, even if our D&O insurance defends that lawsuit and we lose, who pays? I don't think our insurance company is going to pay the suit, are they? They're just going to defend it.
So you're proposing that we pay the $8,000 in order
I'm
to.
proposing that we put the vote to the membership at large in September and take it off of a board that I don't think we have the authority to make this poor of a decision.
Because this is my concern. If you decide to take it off, shut it down, you know how that goes. let's say we get together, we want to form this LLC. Now it comes back, oh, well, I don't think we can. I know something else is going to come up. What else are you going to take from us? I mean, you know, when we first bought, we had 2 weeks free in the cabins. That went away. We helped renovate the cabins. We got a week free. That went away. Now you're going to take away the runway. What's next? You're going to fill in the ponds. See, the thing is, we should have an option before you decide that you're just going to take down the runway or close it. We should have more time.
Is this Marcos or is this McQueen?
Marco.
This is Marco.
Marco, okay.
Marco.
We should have the option before to look into the options before.
Marco, would 30 days be enough time for you to research and put a proposal together, an initial proposal? I realize it may not be finalized, but would 30 days be enough time?
No. Are there any other pilots on the call? In the room? Anybody there? It's a pilot? I don't know, Thomas. To answer your question, I think I agree with Kevin. I think it should go to a vote to everyone in September. So as of right now, we have the insurance, correct? It's not like we got to come up with another $9,000. Am I correct?
That is correct.
We paid for this year, but we have to reannounce it next year. Yeah.
The impact is next year's insurance.
Correct. Michael, wasn't there an impact to property insurance as well?
Yes, there was an impact to property insurance.
Which we decided not to do this year because of the cost.
Correct.
Okay. Tina Collins has something that she's been holding her arm up and got tired. Put it down.
To the mic.
And her arm.
Come up to the mic.
I think there's a little bit of confusion. I just wanted to state how I think of it. The insurance in question is just covering the board, the DNO insurance.
Absolutely not. You do not understand how DNO works, if that's your view. Let me explain, please. DNO covers the association from being sued. It doesn't cover the board's liability.
If we screw up.
It doesn't, yeah. So if we screw up as a board and somebody sues and wins, if the board did something out of the best interest of the HOA, they can be held accountable directly. If the board acted in good faith and the other person still wins the lawsuit, all 300 lots get a special assessment to pay that fine.
But the insurance doesn't cover the airport itself.
No,
not right now.
Right. So the pilots are wanting to keep it open. We're not going to dismantle it. We're going to take a couple signs down and unregister it. So the airstrip, that's what it is, not airport, is there a landing strip, is still going to be available. It's just a matter of whether we can get insurance or not because of the airstrip.
And can they do it at their own risk?
Right. If pilots want to land on a unregistered landing strip, there's nothing stopping.
That's my understanding. Pilots, correct us if we're wrong, but every pilot I've talked to, they've told me that they could land on it even if it was not registered. If they wanted to make that decision to land in that area, there's nothing stopping them from landing it or using it.
But the issue
is that... I only know
that...
of another active pilot, Marco, and that's... I can't even remember his name at lot 145.
Nashinsky,
yeah.
Just because the airstrip's there, if we take it off, if we keep it on the registry or on the FAA website, that kind of implies an obligation to keep it clear and not allow any other development or usage of it that would affect its ability to be a runway. If we take it off, as if we take that away as an amenity, then that doesn't constrain us from, you know, constantly having cows there, say, or any other activity that, even though the land is there at all, but in fact prevents it from being used as an airstrip, which I think is these members' concerns.
Leaving it on the FAA website and in our rules and regulations create the liability if we don't maintain it as a board. Can any board member tell me beyond the last time a lot owner ran a grader and flattened it and did any maintenance on the airport? When was the last maintenance done?
2 years ago, Jeff did it. Lot 145. He put over $6,000 out of his own pocket.
Yeah, it was further back than that, though, wasn't it? It was more like 6 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was done. He did it.
And that's fine. My point is as an HOA, we are not actively maintaining that airport. And that makes me as a board member liable for that action.
But I don't understand why can't it just be taken out?
That's the proposal.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
Hey guys,
the proposal is to remove it from the list of amenities that DSROA provides so that we don't have the insurance implication. That's all that's being suggested. We're not talking about putting a pool up there or a golf course. We're just talking about making it not officially an airstrip anymore.
Yeah, but why do you have to take away the identifier and close it with the FAA? You can just take it off as it's not an amenity anymore.
It's on common ground. It's on DSROA common property.
Could this all go to a committee to discuss?
It should.
Hey, it guys, probably should go to a committee, but we're at a board where I know everybody wants to go. But we've had, this is an important issue that affects the whole association. And I'm neither
yes, or against exactly.
It. Hold on. All right. We are going in circles, and I get that's probably frustrating. So people want us to move along, right?
Right.
But it isn't. But and I've probably sat in the same thing for I've sat on the same position while people droned on for an hour. So I get where you're at. But it is a concern. I'm not sure that we should make a motion right now. But I'm willing to enter. I don't think we've. I think there's been compelling arguments not to make a decision yet and maybe make it something the general membership should do.
Hey, guys, this is Mike McNichols. I don't know how to raise my hand, but I've made some comments in the comment section. Can I talk just real quick for a minute?
Please do.
Thank you. In answer to Marco's question, I am a pilot, although I'm not currently licensed. But I have a brother-in-law who is a commercial pilot, flies for FedEx. He owns two personal airplanes. He lives in Alaska. He's an Alaska bush pilot. And it's not, it's partly about members, but it's also about member families and member friends. The other thing I want to mention is there are a lot of people I've heard over the years say, well, cabin expenses are included. I never rent a cabin.
You're going in and out, Mike.
People in the past have said, I never rent a cabin, but cabin expenses are in my dues. I never fish at the ponds, but pond expenses are in my dues. So I think the airstrip needs to be looked at the same way. Not everybody's going to use it, but it's an amenity of the ranch that adds to property values and makes an added benefit that people may or may not choose to use in the future. I see both sides of the issue, but I just wanted to bring that up.
I have no issue paying the extra dollars.
Have a comment? Hello, we have another comment in the back. Come on up by the mic, please.
Making me get my exercise today, Kirk.
Well,
Joe from Lot 27. I have sat and I do sit in position like you guys, so I absolutely understand why the board wants to make a decision. I heard some really good points. I think Michael made a good case, but I also think Kevin made a good case. And the gentleman who just spoke about the cabins and the pond and the analogy to the airport, I think he made a good case. You have almost 300 owners here, and I think the board needs to respect that. On something this big, it really should go to a general vote. And I would recommend it go to September. Now, that's not what you want to hear. You made some really good business reasons, but I think this goes beyond the business just because it is a real differentiator for DSROA. Thank you.
I agree, and that's what I just put in the notes. I think it needs to go to September's meeting for a vote.
Ken?
By then, we can talk to other pilots.
Ken, you've reached your limit, by the way.
I hate to interrupt, but I have a comment too when able. I'm on the phone. This is Dustin.
Okay, Dustin.
I just know from what my dad told me. And he told me that that airport was kind of required because the FAA moved to the area, said there's no emergency landing strip within a certain distance. Now, I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, it can be an emergency landing strip without being on the FAA.
Well, but this one's all on the charts. I know because I have a bunch of pilots.
I've seen it.
Has anybody actually talked to an FAA official and said, we can remove it? Kind of what Kevin said. We might be doing something that we can't
do. No, it's doable.
We knew it, like, that was an option.
Okay.
To just,
okay, I just
basically check a box to remove it from
and
there.
They were okay. They're okay with that. Okay.
Well, I don't know. This is the first time I've heard that it was a requirement.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, so that's the first time I've heard of that, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, we can look into that if the board decides not to vote on it today.
But again, just pulling it off the FAA website doesn't mean you can't land there. You can still land there. In an emergency, a pilot can land anywhere he thinks he can land his aircraft. It don't even have to be a landing strip. It could be a farmer's field. It doesn't matter in an emergency.
Okay, so I'm going to interject at this point.
We got one more person who wanted to comment.
I'm sorry, you had another comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Dustin Belinsky, Lot 73.
Hi, Dustin.
How you doing? So I'll try to be quick, but I have a couple points here. We've been out at the ranch since about 1990. We also own the east side of the runway at Strawberry Valley by Duck Creek. And I know Milton Farney, who developed Navajo, some of Duck Creek, and helped the Christensens with Swains Creek. And these all have airstrips. And a lot of times, you can land anywhere you want, but, you know, you'll have to pay for the damage. But what it definitely needs to be done, it needs to be taken either off the chart or it needs to have an R on it that says restricted, and then AirNav can say private, do not land. There's many of these up in Sierra Nevadas that are just like this. There's one up in Alpine. And what we did over at Strawberry, if anybody else on this call or has any familiarity to it, that property is actually carved out as its own entity. And so it's not actually part of the common area of that association for liability reasons. If somebody needs to land, yeah, anywhere, they're going to do what they got to do. But, you know, whatever those repercussions are, they happen later. But there's a lot of things that can be done, I think, for the insurance to satisfy the people who aren't using the airstrip or even people who use it once every 10 years like me. And it would be good to not alienate the people who may like to have this as a component of their ownership of the ranch. Without an extensive conversation, but it does seem fair to do something other than just leave this big exposure if that's truly what it is. So I'll just leave it at that. But our current setup that we have at several other places is similar to what I described, and that by itself carries a huge asset to liability protection. And, I had dealt with Ben Clarkson on a similar issue 10 or so years ago, and there's things that could be done for sure.
So Dustin, could you and Marco and any other pilots get together, look into that, and come back to the board within the next 4 weeks?
100%. And I'm lot 73, so if you need to get a hold of me, you can dig up my contact, or I can give it to you here, however you want to do it.
Hey, Dustin, it's Marco. That's what I was going to ask. If I could give you a call, I have your number. It popped up on the screen. So
perfect. Give me a call or a text and we'll talk. And there's definitely things we can do to make it fairer for everybody and help the ranch, because it's hard times with this stuff, with litigation and everything. And it makes sense. So,
yeah. And you could get a hold of Jeff Mashinsky.
Yeah. So one of the comments, so I do think the pilots need to get together, but just for clarification purposes, in the FAA registration right now, it is registered private and restricted. So that
okay.
Any of the actions right now that the board has looked at in order to, short of removing it from our responsibility, we have not found anything that would reduce our exposure or make it easier to get the insurance. So I just want people to take that into consideration as they're discussing it, is this, the board is trying, or some of the board is trying to save us an $8,000 bill. But recognize, you know, there is value to that. So kind of trying to cover that.
So,
okay.
Yeah, to me, the biggest thing would be, I think in that scenario, remove it from the chart permanently, but there needs to be something said that would be, you know, they're not going to go put speed bumps down the middle of it or convert it to some other use. It's going to be an open pasture. And then if somebody does something like the guy that landed at the Indian reservation a few months ago, then they're going to bear 100% of that responsibility. You know, and like the other commenter said, there's nothing you can do to stop them. They could crash right into your cabin. I mean, it happens at these airports all the time. Not to say that it will. There's hardly anybody coming in and out of there. But, yeah, we definitely can come up with something that fits the box, I think.
So, Kurt, if you're in favor, then I'd say we let these guys and the rest of the board, we let these guys talk amongst themselves and come back to us with a proposal before the next board meeting. And that gives us a chance to prepare for the September meeting if we're going to do a vote, or if we're not going to, if we're going to propose something else, whether it's an LLC, removing it from our language, whatever it might be. We got 2 months and we can have a member vote.
I think I need a motion to table it if somebody wants to make any
further conversation is moot. Let Marco and Dustin and whoever they get together come to the next meeting.
Route when we haven't even talked about it. That's my frustration. We have not had extensive discussions about this particular topic. As
they're going to give us more information.
We're going.
We don't know. We're not qualified. We're not pilots. We're letting people who know more about it than we do.
We're talking about removing it from the rules and doing all these things. Or next option is send it to Marco and some people to come up with an LLC. And I tried to explain to him, and I spent hours on the phone with the Strawberry Valley guy that Dustin has referenced. He explained to me how they went about separating off the property, making it its own LLC to separate it entirely from the HOA. But yet the board hasn't talked to me, who talked to the Strawberry guy, to look into these options. So the two options on the table right now is remove it from the rules, let's shut it all down, or send it to Marco and some other LLC arrangement.
It's not being sent to Marco for an LLC arrangement. It's being sent to Marco, Dustin, and pilots interested, so they can come up with their thoughts, their ideas, and then we can talk about it more extensively in August.
And I want to correct you, Jeff, too. I think we've got three options right now. One is to have a member vote and wait until September,
right,
and see if members want to do that. One is to possibly form an LLC, and if you want to provide information on that, nobody's stopping from that. And the third is maybe shutting it down. Right now, the motion I would make would be, let's table this for further discussion next month,
right?
And then we can make a decision, and maybe not even any of those three, but let's table it for now, allow people to continue to provide feedback, information, share information. I mean, if
but I'm like, saying Deer Springs has a which is to subdivide off the property just as Trevor Billy did.
That would also require
us, but it's separated from Deer Springs Owners Association as its own entity. So
on the phone, we can't hear you, that person.
Yeah, Jeff, you're fading out.
So Tina is just bringing up the fact that if it is going out for vote in September, the mailings need to go out. Get that, so needs to decide on that. If the board's actually going to vote on it, or allow members to vote on it.
When does the mailing go out?
If you guys are speaking, we can't hear you on the phone at all.
Tina said that Danielle gave her a deadline of today in order to get the flyers included with the mailing that went out. So we need to check with, it's with probably within the next week or two.
Could you have a special meeting just for this vote later?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
There is mechanism in
absolutely
for having special meetings for matters of this nature.
So be cheap, cheaper than another 8,000.
Yeah.
I think that Marco and Dustin, if you guys want to get together and bring stuff, information to us. I know the time constraint is going to be on Michael's point, the insurance period, and
okay,
what our decisions on, but I just don't see that we're in a position to make this.
If you're going to table this, I'm going to have a different motion.
Okay. Well,
so I will. So if you're going to table this, and I'm okay with tabling it, don't get me wrong. I'm okay.
All right. I understand.
I would fight for the pilots if it was being used and we had stuff on file. Here nor there, I'm going to make the motion that I have to make that covers all of us. We have done zero maintenance on that runway. At least somebody needs to run a brush hog down it to show some sort of effort to maintain that strip if we're going to leave it on.
I have no problem. I have no problem maintaining that runway for now.
Well, I appreciate that, Marco, and I would love to give it to you. But as a board, we have to do an effort and say, okay, so now what are you going to do? When are you going to do it? And we can do that offline. But I, as a board member, we have done nothing to maintain it. We have a liability there, and we need to at least do what is minimally required for a plane to land on it.
Even if we're tabling it just for a month, because if we vote not to do or close it, it seems
well. It sounds like the closure is kind of fading. But to Michael's point, if we push this out too far, we're going to miss our 2027 window for coverage.
When is that?
Until next month. That gives Marco a month to perform exactly what he's
right. No, I'm sure Marco will do it.
Is that enough time, Marco?
Yes. Give me a month.
There is another option to cleaning that up too. We have a property manager who has made a equipment operating proposal to the board. We could accept that proposal and have Ezra take the grader and lightly remove the brush and things that are on that runway.
He could also do it privately outside of the DSROA property manager contract. He could independently take that job and be paid directly for it.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Can this all go to committee so we can move on, people? Really?
No. The purpose of the board is to board to discuss it. Is our
just
board
sign meeting off if you don't want to be on?
This is what the board is here to do. So no, we're not going to send it to committee.
You know, it might be worth it might be worth interjecting one more thing. And I know we're going to talk. This is Dustin, but there's thousands of airstrips that are either maintained or not maintained on government and private property that are called landing strips. If anything, they're not on charts and they're not airports. So I do agree probably the conclusion.
Yeah. This is registered as an airstrip.
Yeah.
Not an airport.
And the insurance didn't care. It was, we gave them the FAA registration. We pointed it. We sent them pictures of the dirt landing. It didn't matter to them.
Well, I get all that, but it's charted, and that's the problem. Most of the landing strips on government property aren't charted.
Correct.
Yeah. And that, Marco, I think that's, you know, we're trying to kind of dance around whether we take it down and say, well, people can still land there if they want to, which is maybe isn't something that we should say. But I would like Dustin and Marco and any other people that they can rally to come back to the board before the next board meeting with a proposal, and even if it's not a finished proposal, at least it's a proposal to take a path. Most likely, ultimately, it will have to be removed from DSROA language, being CCNRs and rules. And if removing it means placing it in an LLC and letting it operate, fine. If removing it and letting it be dormant and no longer officially an airstrip, maybe that's the result. But let the pilots go away. These guys are smart guys. They obviously have way more knowledge than we
Let
do.
them
Let them
work
do
on it.
their little project and come back to us before the next board meeting. I'm 100% in favor of that.
I am too, and I'd like I said, I will fight for the pilots tooth and nail if we have other options. I would ask Marco and was it Dusty or Dustin? The
Dustin, yes, sir.
Dustin, is there any way I can be involved with this discussion?
Yeah, you absolutely should be. So grab my number and you should be a part of it because you seem to be very much informed on a lot of this other stuff, the sort of the opposite side of the coin. So in the favor of everybody's time on my end, I'll just wait for that and withhold any more comments on my side. And I appreciate you guys giving me the time.
Okay, Vance Green, you had a comment, sir.
You covered what my concern was PTO shaft is missing anyway, so we can't brush hog on ourselves, right?
Right.
Grader is relatively safe, but do not brush hog anything out there for the time being.
Oh yeah,
There's
it's
no
fire
way
hazard.
we found all the rocks. I mow my front acre every winter, and I still kick a rock around that I haven't found.
Yeah.
Okay. Ever since we killed the sage out there, that thing is a tinderbox.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was, you know,
I know.
we're scraping one
And
off of
so
one
just to
awful
be
thing for one less way off.
so just to be clear, because I wasn't clear on that. So Marco, we're not granting permission to go out and brush hog the airstrip at this
I
time.
understood that, and then you brought up
Well, no,
using.
but I don't think we're kind of discussing it, so I just want to make sure. So all the board is okay with no action. Michael, are you asking that we grade or do something in the interim, or are we just pausing everything for the 30 days?
I don't care that we pause the rules, the FAA removal, but the board, if it's even internally, discuss some sort of maintenance, whatever that looks like, so that we've made a due diligent, good faith effort to make it safe for somebody to land on something that we've published as an amenity.
Okay, and I recommend that we don't rely on Marco to do that right at this current time. Or I mean, that
No.
might be something we discuss, but
Well,
yeah.
Michael's going to reach out to Dustin, and I think Marco's very much in the picture on this. And
Yep.
we still want to have a some kind of an idea of their thoughts before the next
Yeah,
meeting.
I'm just talk strictly
Yeah,
talking the maintenance
I know.
that Michael's talking about, so.
But I brush hogging right now. It's a fire hazard.
Again, see, I'm a board member that knows nothing about maintaining an airport, and I recommended a wrong path of brush hogging. That's my whole point to this, is we are not
That's why.
equipped.
But you're being included in that conversation because you've been on the insurance so heavily, so has Kate. And it's but
I get
Marco,
what Vance is saying.
Dustin's participation with you is, I think, is a very good path forward for right now.
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion that we table the airstrip discussion until next month in order to have time for everybody to do their due diligence and research, and we'll continue again at that point.
I'll second it.
Okay, so Kurt seconded. All in favor?
Kevin, aye.
Kurt, aye.
Kate, aye.
Aye.
I'm going to be the lone dissenter. I think we need to address this. Michael, no.
Bart, aye.
Jeff's trying to make up his mind.
For 30 days, next meeting.
Next meeting, we'll discuss it again.
Aye.
Jeff says aye. So it was all aye except for Michael. Is that correct?
That's what I heard.
Hey.
Okay.
I think we need to agree to discuss Ezra's actions as far as the liability of no maintenance, whether we do that in executive or whatever it needs to happen. I have to agree wholeheartedly with Michael that doing nothing to address liability is as bad as the pendulum swing back the other direction.
Well, I have put out an email for a proposal for a executive meeting Monday or Tuesday. I'm not going to put it Tuesday or Wednesday to include Ezra in that executive meeting.
Monday was out for a
So
bunch of people, but I'll So yeah, Tuesday would work.
Tuesday works. Then let's just respond by email, and we'll continue that with email. Are we all good with that?
I'm in the minutes on notice that we need to do something to make it safe. So if we want to do that in an executive session, I'm okay with that.
Okay, we have several things to discuss at that meeting. So we're officially tabled on the airstrip. Annual meeting, Kate.
So we sent out an email to people that had done past election, been part of the past election committee. I only got one response back, and that was they weren't available this year. So we as a board need members to serve on the election committee. The election committee basically counts all the votes, and we don't want somebody that is related or affiliated with anybody that's running for the board. So if you guys fit into that category and can help us out, we'd appreciate volunteers for that. We'll probably have to send out an email too if there's not been. If you're interested in helping out with the election committee, please email the board and go from there. And then real quick, Tina, did you have anything you wanted to add about the luncheon and the auction or any of that stuff? Notices were sent out kind of with everything in the with the agenda for this meeting. So, yeah, the election committee in the past has normally missed the auction, so just be prepared for that as well. If you volunteer,
we can't hear whoever's speaking besides you, Cade.
Tina, I just reiterated what Tina said.
Okay, can I propose we close that section C? Let's move on to old business. Rules Modification Committee, Bart. Bartholomew.
I was on mute. Sorry. We have notified the members that'll be part of the Rules Committee. I'll set a meeting up for not next week, but the following week. I'm on PTO and with family, so this week and next week. So I'll send something out for us to meet up next week. Tom and I sent some stuff out a little while back to Tom. He provided some comments on it. I'm addressing those comments, and I'll provide those documents to those members that are on the committee.
Okay.
Isn't it been 3 months?
What's that?
So let me repeat real quick, Bart. They didn't hear it, but the question was, did the committee's been formed, the members been notified, but the committee has not met?
Correct. Yeah, we'll be meeting before the end of July.
Since the Rules Committee being meeting before the end of July. So me personally, I have several rules that I've held off trying to get updated or changed, and I'm tired of waiting. So I'm going to be proposing.
One of the things that we're going to just, you know, the mandate and the ask from when we did this wasn't to actually go about changing rules, right? We've got a million freaking rules that everybody wants to change, and I need to settle that right now. Okay. The mandate was to look at things and identify those things that probably need addressing and or changing, right? So there's a whole lot of conflict. There's conflict, disagreement in our CCNRs, our bylaws, and our rules. We need to get all those things cleared up and fixed. That's the main issue. Right. And then we can identify other issues and we'll be bringing those forward. All right. So if you've got other issues, that's great. We're not saying we won't recommend ideas, but we're not actually going to be doing a lot of, I think, some of the stuff you want us to do that I've heard in a bunch of emails going back and forth. We're trying
to. No objection to making a proposal to change some rules then.
No, you know, there's no, that you don't have to wait for us to do that. We're trying to clean up all this inconsistency that we have, these inconsistencies that we have in our governing documents.
I have no problem with going forward with rule changes, but how do we guarantee that the rule changes aren't going to add more conflict?
Well, that's part of, I think, when those rule changes are proposed, that's what I will address that sure in that
process. Okay, if you're willing to take on that review, I got no problem with it.
I think I stepped on whoever spoke. Sorry.
No, do we want to take a vote on that and allow that to go forward?
I don't think we need to vote on that. That's
okay.
Something anybody
that's what
can,
we're going to do.
Anybody can propose a motion and nobody can stop it. So,
okay. Because I've been holding off too.
Yep.
I think we all have. Okay. So thank you, Bart, for the update. Thomas, do you have information on the cattle lease? I know you sent out a copy.
Yeah. So there was a copy sent out a couple weeks ago. We met, some of the board met with Kevin Ballard last week or earlier this week to review the changes that Kevin requested or finalizing language. Again, I want to be really clear that I'm not negotiating the cattle contract. I'm simply trying to write down the agreements between the board and Kevin for review by our legal advisor to ensure that the language says what both sides think it says. So we're very, very close to a final draft. We'll integrate those final changes that were requested this week into the document. It'll be sent to Kevin to minimize the back and forth with attorney and attorney's fees that accumulate in that process. Kevin will review with his attorney and then give us back any final requests, and all of that will be sent to our attorney. And then, you know, we'll have something finalized hopefully by September. And then, that contract still doesn't start for a couple of years. So, and the NRCS stuff has already been agreed and approved. And so, all I would add to that is that, between NRCS projects and KA Cattle Company, Kevin Ballard and his wife, there is a substantial investment that is being made in the infrastructure of DSROA over the term of the next contract. And I think both sides will benefit from it. In the long run, everything that's done on DSROA property remains property of DSROA, even after Kevin's investment and Kevin doing the work to install it. So I think things are coming along nicely, and we'll have final review hopefully over the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Hey, Thomas. Kate, I think finalizing contracts is an executive.
Partially. So,
go ahead.
I can't hear you guys.
It's windy.
Wind is canceling out, so we'll try and speak loud. Can't stop the wind. So I've sent the bookkeeper and the office admin contracts to Danielle to get the signatures on that. So Kurt, you should be seeing the signature.
I signed both of them.
Okay, so those are taken care of and done. And then, yeah, we still need to talk. Tina's in the executive committee.
Okay.
So water hauling, septic permits. The good news is all of our hard work going out to the committee meetings and stuff that way paid off. Kane County has approved an ordinance allowing water hauling in subdivisions that currently allow water hauling.
But so, can you tell us about the, I heard the council proposed an exception for Airbnbs.
So it's not an exception. It just says that for Airbnbs, water hauling may not be used in commercial activities. And they consider Airbnbs commercial. So for hauling water, depending on haul water, and also try and operate an Airbnb, which really doesn't apply to us, hopefully, from that perspective. So, but yeah, normal usage, if you want to build a home, get a septic tank, put a septic tank in, you're allowed to use water hauling as an option to do that per Kane County, and we're now good to go. So we'd be nice to actually take this one off the list.
Thank you. Get your eraser out. Bart, you want to do our
update on the booster?
Well, Ezra covered the backflow valve inspections, correct? We need booster pump installation and well solarization.
Well, Bart, I wouldn't mind hearing. Did we lose him?
Bart, I'm there.
Okay.
I'd like to hear what the, I mean, he said looked good, but did we get an official report back and we're all passed?
We have not got a report back yet from Andrew. He did, I did speak with him about the results. One thing of note, the over-engineered portion that Ezra that Ezra raised, that was a requirement from the state. So we needed to have, and the over-engineering portion of that is we have meters that have double check valves integrated into them, and then after the meter, we have two check valves. And those two check valves were installed in lieu of a double check valve. So there was the mandate from the state was that after the meter, you need to have double check valve and an air gap before a low risk water connection. And that was low risk. It's a or low hazard connection due to the low pressure at those meters. That's why it's over engineered. So because
On
there's
the county level.
say again.
It's over-engineered on the county level.
No, it's over engineered as a requirement from the state when to have that double check valves between the meter and the air gap. That's what was required. So anyways, that's
I get that. I'm just wondering where the over-engineered comment comes from.
that comment
What relevance?
came from that comment came from Andrew. He didn't know why we had two double check
Oh,
valves
okay.
associated with the system.
Thank
That
you.
that's it. So there was no real issue there. He didn't understand about the direction from the state that we had received. One issue that he did notice was that people, well, actually two issues. One, the J station that everybody uses, when he was on site, he noticed that somebody was using the J station and the hose was actually going into the container that the water tote that somebody was using. That is
That was me.
actually, yeah, well, that is a backflow connection hazard. You're supposed to have an air gap between the outlet of the J stand water and the inlet of whatever tote you're filling. So
So
that.
cam locks are not acceptable either?
You can't, no, you're not supposed to have
You said that you can't put it down inside of the
can't
tank.
put it
You have to
down
hold it
inside
outside of
the
the
thing.
tank.
It has to be above it. That's what it has to be.
And aim carefully.
Say again. The other issue was the, and he, this is a write-up, this is a note he's going to make in there, is the I think it's an RP valve that is going to the irrigation from the well that failed testing. And so he worked with Ezra to fix it. He's going to recommend replacing that. And so that'll be something that he'll give us the details in the report when we get it. So those were the two issues there.
Back to the J station. I mean, I've done it myself, and I'm sure a ton of other people have done it, putting the hose in, because otherwise it flips all over. So, what's the recommendation? How do we educate people? And or it sounds like there's a funnel or something we can put in to make it easier or whatever, but.
Well, the state forest uses the funnels that Tina brought up, and it reduces the splashing around, and it's about, well, up in the Kaibab, it's several feet high because they use bigger trucks. But I don't know how close that has to be. But it's just basically a sock that funnels the water into the tank.
Yeah, so we can.
But I don't know how sanitary that sock is.
Anyways, we'll look at getting a
I
solution
know,
there,
right?
but those were the two issues that he brought up with me.
Okay. I mean, do we need a sign that at least just says "Do not place hose in tank" or something like that?
Yeah, well, we probably need to do something like that.
Okay. Wash your hands after
Just some
using.
education.
Okay.
Hold on. So the other issue, see, water pump installation, the booster pump installation. I've been going back and forth with the engineers. I want to get with, do we want this? The question that I have is, do we want this just to push water for irrigation, or do we want it to go all the way up and replace the, do we want to ex replace the existing pump completely, or just provide an additional alternative to irrigate the field there by the meadow?
The well solarization, right?
Yeah, isn't that related to the well solarization?
Yeah. So if a complete
Okay.
well solarization, I'm getting some issues with the total dynamic head that we need to obtain or achieve with our well, with our pump, is pushing us to three phase. So I'm trying to find single phase solutions for it. The alternative, the Cade, I know you supplied me some recommendations, but that really is doesn't even meet our vertical head requirement to get to the tank from the bottom of the well, or where the
Can you put together two proposals for us,
I
one for
have the whole
irrigation
thing.
included?
I'm getting
Okay.
it. It's getting priced out. I'm going back and forth with Fuji Electric on drivers for it, and I'm coordinating with Schultzens on a parts list right now. So it's just a
Perfect. Yeah.
complicated process, and it's a pain in the ass, but working on it.
Yes, it is. I'm going
So
through.
far, I didn't do those calculations. That was Vance and Brent that did the calculations on, and they felt like it should give you the head pressure that we needed to get it up to the tank. But
It
so.
there's some static head, but it doesn't do dynamic head. It doesn't achieve a dynamic head. And I can provide those
Yes.
calculations if you need.
Well, if you want to consult with Vance and Brent, that's where I got those, just FYI.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Bart.
Well, so the booster pump installation, that's for those two lots that are still waiting. Have we got with Larry, or have we done that pressure test, or?
No. I have not been up to the ranch since then, so I haven't been able to
They
do a
haven't
pressure
been able
test.
to find the water connection at Rod Johnson's. I think where it was. And I don't know the stat. We have anything to add to that, Ezra?
No, Roger Johnson doesn't have a backflow preventer on his. He's been on his side of the tank. He got some air gap.
Yes.
So I'm not sure on the amount of.
Oh, but the booster pump, we have his lot needs to have a.
But it has to have a booster pump to reach 20 PSI. That's one that he has on the ground, that blue one. Yeah.
So Rod,
Rod's already taken care of, I think.
so you'll it sounds like Rod might be taking care of Bart, so we need to verify
We
that.
might
And
want to get him to sign off on it.
then is it Marcos is the other lot?
Marcos is done. The other lot is 147, which is, I believe,
Now
for
Dell.
sale right
Yeah,
now.
Dell's got it.
Okay, so we're looking at it depends on where you measure from is where we end up,
Right. Yeah, that's we. So the last instruction was that we were going to try and get with Larry, get Larry's pressure tester,
right?
and be able to test that
On
line
the existing
at
meter.
We have a pressure tester in the tool room, several of them.
Test that would be or other.
The
To
committee
dig
on
down and cut into the
Larry.
pipe and
No,
test it?
test it at
No,
the
to
meter.
test it at the meter. Some kind of weird thing.
Right. Okay.
Forty-seven.
47. We know we have enough pressure. Yeah.
Again, sorry guys, we're getting nothing here.
Sorry, let's go forward, check it up again. Above ground fuel storage, paperwork has been sent in to both state agencies, and I can't do anything until I hear back from the agency. So I know we have money set aside for that, but at the end of the day, I just got to see what their requirements are going to be. I have a plan, but it's got to involve them. Kevin Poole, sender usage.
Nothing to report.
Okay.
You want to take that off the table, or are you still planning on doing
Keep it
anything? Are
off
you?
the center usage.
It's a good idea. Of course, anyone that buys a lot owner, I would encourage them, if they're interested in centers, to contact Dale directly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're interested, go for it. So
don't
afford to get in the middle of that. But from the board's perspective, I don't see any value in putting cinders in holes that's either going to wash away or get stomped down into the mud and accomplish nothing.
Well, the pipeline, Larry would have to be here, but he put those cinders up there like 10 years ago.
It may have held for a good long while. That's a flat section. We'll get
the upper section sucks.
We'll get the pipeline.
But I think the only discussion that we were having was if he was going to be willing to pay to haul it down, was it worth putting it somewhere people could access it? But if.
Yeah,
I don't know, even know that option is still on the table. I think
that's between Dale, Larry, and the individuals. You know, I just, Larry's in charge of the gravel pit. I'd say let him handle that. We have enough on our plate.
Right, we'll take it off the agenda.
Yeah. Okay, does anybody else have anything to add?
I have something on mine.
Come on up, Cade.
Okay, so my section, just real quick, need to apologize to the members. There was an email sent out where we did not put your email addresses in the BCC line. So your email addresses were sent clear text to everybody. We will be sending out a notice to all the members not to use those email addresses, but those were accidentally sent in the CC line. And so there's a potential that people know what those addresses are. So I apologize. That was me just being too quick and in a hurry. I put it on the CC line instead of the BCC line. I will try and make sure we don't do that going forward. And we will be sending out an email informing people not to take advantage of my mistake.
And you can see the stripes on his back, how he reacted.
You guys beat me to, yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to...
Anybody else?
In the last meeting, there was a request to have a section on the website where upgrades could be presented to the membership. So if you look on the homepage, there is a members area for community projects, and the board members have access. It's a very easy process. Jeff has uploaded a couple of things. I've uploaded a couple of things. So I think it's really value added to have the community be able to see the work that's being done with their dues. And that is now available. And I encourage board members to take photos, upload photos, and give a little description of things that are being accomplished around the property.
Well, that does bring up, I appreciate that. That brings up another topic. I wanted to publicly thank Jeff for no charge. He went up and he cleared the around the fire pit up at the lower cabins up here. So if you haven't seen that, go check it out. We can't use it with fire restrictions right now, but it looks great. It's actually, you can now see that there's actually a fire pit there. I don't know if you guys knew that there was one there, but it looks great. And thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, I was going to actually say that, so in my part, that us, Tina, me, and Brent went and made that thing compliant. So doesn't do us any good right now, but it's compliant.
It looks pretty. That's what he's just going through.
That's what we're going through right now.
If you have one.
You have.
Is it okay to use it?
No.
No. So they're approved fire pits. So under stage one, stage one can use those open fire pits with water. We're currently under stage two, and so you're not allowed to use any fire pit anywhere.
Nope. I'm good.
Kevin Cool. Talk about roads and what's happened is I missed last month, so I didn't get an opportunity to update everyone on what's happening with roads. There was a blockage in a wash just north of, you guys are 230. Okay, right there, just past that road where the Levitts lived, there was a block in the fog that was overflowing the road and had done a lot of rutting and gouging in the road. So we contracted Larry Clarkson to, first of all, open the wash and get the problem off where the water now has somewhere to go rather than overflowing onto the road, tearing the road up. Then we graded out the major ruts down the middle of the road. While Larry was still up there, there was a perennial wash across the road just south of where the plug was. We went ahead and got a culvert in that area. So hopefully that section of road, Tom drives up there, so he'll know exactly where I'm talking about. So those problems have been solved. We mentioned pipeline. Pipeline is an utter disaster. From the top all the way to about a third of the area where Kurt was talking, where the cinders had been applied. I've got Larry contracted to grade all the pipeline and get that mess straightened out, where at least if you're going up there, it's not like driving up a rock climber. So anyway, so that is on the list of things to get done. We very recently, if you have been up Meadow Canyon to the Johnny Brown turnoff, we completed that section there where we finally got all the gravel and stones. We had a major plug in that culvert at that intersection, and that was turning into a giant mud hole like the one that we fixed up on slide. That was a giant mud hole. So that project is completed, and I have appointments with Larry to meet with him in the coming week to get the estimates together and hopefully work on the scheduling after he gets back from Alaska to do two major projects. One of them be the turn off of slide that goes up to lots 295, all that well truck or drilling truck used to be. Original design for that intersection. Have culverts. If you go look at it, you will see that there's a flat land that goes out of the wash. That was the intended path for the road. Where the road goes now was a stopgap measure that has now been there probably for decades. But there is a plan to fix that intersection right there, complete where the road is supposed to go across, and then get some graveling and repair done on that giant mud hole. The last section is the areas at the ponds. All the culverts are seriously plugged with the chewed up debris from the mastication that went on, I guess, 2 years ago. It has now plugged every culvert in that entire section from probably Crawford Canyon down to well below the ponds. So there is a plan being put together to open the wash in some areas where it's plugged, to open all the culverts that are there, to dig a retention pond to eliminate the debris from coming down and continuing to plug all of those culverts. Because if we don't, and we may be too late to do anything with it now, but when the monsoons hit and there's nowhere for the water to go, guess where it goes? Right down Meadow Canyon. And if you've noticed the damage in that area over the last 6 months, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So those are the areas where we are working to improve the roads. The goals that I have for roads are fairly simple. If we fix problems along the way, eventually get to where we can connect the dots and maybe actually improve these roads where they're no longer just trying to put a Band-Aid on a bleeding nub. So the goals is to engineer and fix places. And in some time in the future, maybe we can actually get gravel on these roads and improve them in a real way. And that addresses nothing of Hidden Canyon that's an absolute utter disaster. I drove up that yesterday to my regret, but that whole area coming around the mountain up there, Hidden Canyon, that whole section is rough as a cob also. We'll see where we're at budget-wise, if there's anything to address with that in the coming months. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin. Bart, do you have anything to add?
Water usage last month, lower cabins, we used around 0.37 acre feet of water, bringing our total water usage to 0.87 acre feet in the lower cabins. So we're kind of under executing lower water in the in that system. Upper water, upper cabins, we've used around 0.068 acre feet of water, so also still under executing compared to year-on-year water usage. Additionally, Brandon Malheur reached out to me, and he is requesting that he brought up the idea of putting a meter on the J station, and I pushed back on our needs for that, basically saying that I think that it's tied, not wanting to have to do something tied to kind of the actions of the Dale Clarkson background for everybody. There's a water system that he's putting in up north or on the up beyond the upper cabins, or and it is not beyond the upper cabins, but in those lots right there by the upper cabins. And there were some claims of water usage at the J station being applied to those areas over there. We disagreed with that. That's kind of put that to bed, but the state basically said, because we have water users or lots using water from the lower water system and taking it to separate parcels, we need to be able to meter so we know what's being used in those separate parcels. So still having discussions with him on that, whether that is truly a necessity or not. He seems to think it is. I kind of want more code requirements telling me that is what we need. And so if that is the case, we may need to put a meter on the J stand. But again, more to follow on that.
Oh yeah, they got to build data centers, right?
What's that? Well, I'm hoping there's it's gonna we can just have a I think there's non-digital meters that we can just put on the J stand. So
Okay, Tina has a comment for you.
okay. What's that?
Bart, the meter on a J station wouldn't get everybody's hauling water because some people use the hydrant and those are on two different water lines. How would that get handled?
Well, we'd have to see. Well, if that's the case, then we would need to meter. We would need to either restrict them from using the hydrant and say that, to haul from the lower water system, we'd have to have one point of connection, or if we had another point of connection, we'd have to meter that as well.
But another justification, maybe not doing the meter.
No, we would. It's not a justification to not know doing the meter. It's basically saying that we'd have to do 2 meters. The concern is we're transporting water outside of the physical limits of the actual water system. So we are actually a water provider by sending it up to other lots. And we need to meter what we're sending outside of the actual physical system of the lower cabin water system.
Because it's a different place of use.
Correct.
And there's no meter before the 40,000 gallon tank.
Well, but that's
No,
wow.
it's at the map and the place, the physical boundaries that contain the
I understand,
lower
but
cabin water system.
you're applying the same usage to do two different places.
Well, he's trying to
Essentially.
separate the cabin usage from the water
I
hauling
understand.
usage.
Yeah, from the yeah, he, they want to separate what water is actually leaving the system and going to other parcels not physically connected to the water system. So we need to meter that water that's going out.
Does it matter that the J station is also used for watering cattle?
Thank you, Tina.
No, we could just report that as a mix. Yeah.
Well, hopefully we don't have to meter and none of this becomes an issue.
That's a goal. Anybody have anything else? Then I motion to adjourn the meeting.
Right. Oh.
Okay, I second the motion to adjourn.
Aye.
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 Yay.
Thank you, everybody.
Make me happy, Sally.
We're still 45 minutes ahead of schedule.
No, I thought you
need to hand some stuff away.
Maybe it's just about
Okay.
Well, I have all kinds of comments. I don't think the people want to hear it.